Today, we'd like to see the title of Lamentation in Ezekiel chapters 19 and 20. To the souls on this online world through podcast or YouTube channel on there, we'd like to suggest the three expositional questions. Number one, in chapters 19, verse 5, when she saw that she waited, that her hope was lost, she took another of her cubs and made him a young lion. What does it mean and what can we learn from here? Question 2, in chapter 20, verse 12, moreover, I also gave them my Sabbath to be a sign between them and me, that they might know that I am the Lord who sanctifies them. What does it mean and how can you apply it to our lives? Question 3, in chapter 20, verse 49, then I said, Ah, Lord God, they saw me, does he not speak parables? What does it mean and how can you apply it to our lives? In the last time in Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 32, for I have no pleasure in the death of one who dies, says the Lord God. Because God's purpose is not, the human deaths, rather than the return, repent their sin and return to God. That's just main purpose, that you may redeem, so we covered last time. Also, Judah's king's order right here. Today, the main character show up is the 16th king, Jehoiachin, and the 18th king, Jehoiachin, showed up. Jehoiachin carried away the captive by Egyptian king. 18, Jehoiachin king carried away the captive by Babylonian king. That story come out. The Babylonian captives of Judah created in three distinct phases, beginning with the first deportation in 606 BC, sometimes cited as 605 BC. Following Nebuchadnezzar's victory over Egypt, during this initial phase, young nobles, including Daniel and three friends, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, was taken to Babylon. The second major deportation took place in 597 before Christ. After the 18th king, Jehoiachin's revolt, Jehoiachin or Jeconiah, included significant figures like the prophet Ezekiel. Finally, the third and last final occurred in 586 when Jerusalem was destroyed. The temple was burned. The kingdom of Judah definitely fell, marking the end of the Davidic dynasty and the beginning of a major exile for the remaining population. Chapter 19, moreover, take up a lamentation for the princes of Israel and say, what is your mother, a lioness? She lay down among the lions, among the young lions, she nourished her cubs. She brought up one of her cubs and he became a young lion. He learned to catch prey and he devoured man. The nations also heard of him. He was a trapper in their pit. And they brought him with chains to the land of Asia. Verse 5, when she saw that she waited, that her hope was lost, she took another of her cubs and made him a young lion. Prophet Ezekiel utilized a powerful parable of a lioness and her cubs to symbolize the tragic fate of the nation of Judah and its kings, demonstrating the certainty of its prolonged exile and inescapable fall to Babylon. The image of the lion is deeply significant, reflecting the prophetic promise of the tribe of Judah and ultimately the Messiah, often called the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And this specific parable, the lioness represents the nation of Judah, and two cubs represent two of its captive kings. The Pristakov was the 16th king, Jehoash, also known as Shalum, who was captured and exiled to Egypt by Pharaoh Necho in 609 before Christ. The second Cub was the 18th king, Jehoiachin, also known as Jeconiah, who reigned for only 3 months, the people being taken captive to Babylon by Nebuchadnezzar in 597 before Christ. This vivid illustration communicated a clear message to the exile. Judah's kings had been violently seized by foreign powers, signifying that the nation had no immediate prospect of rescue or a quick return from captivity, nor any chance of escaping the full might of the approaching Babylonian army. Verse 6, he robbed among the lions and became a young lion. He learned to catch prey. He devoured men. He knew their desolate places and laid waste their cities. The land with its fullness was desolated by the noise of his roaring. Then the nation set against him from the provinces on every side and spread their net over him. He was trapped in their pit. They put him in a cage with chains and brought him to the king of Babylon. They brought him in nets, that his voice should no longer be heard on the mountains of Israel. Your mother was like a vine in your bloodline, planted by the waters, fruitful and full of branches. Because of many waters, she had strong branches for scepters of rulers. She towered in stature above the thick branches and was seen in her height amid the dense foliage. But she was plucked up in fury. She was cast down to the ground, and the east wind dried her fruit. Her strong branches were broken and withered. The fire consumed them. Verse 12, the nation of Judah faced an inescapable fate, as its own political and military power was insufficient to ensure its survival against the superior foreign forces of Babylon. This desperate situation was conveyed through the powerful prophetic imagery of a vine, where the kings and the people of Judah were the branches that would be mercilessly cut off and uprooted. The destructive force ejected this judgment was personified as the east wind, a direct symbol representing the immense, irascible power of the invading Babylonian army, signifying the total ruin and removal of Jewish people from their land. 13, and now she is planted in the wilderness in a dry and thirsty land. Fire has come out from a rod over her branches and devoured her fruit, so that she has no strong branch except for ruling. Chapter 20, verse 1. It came to pass in the 7th year, in the 5th month, on the 10th day of the month, that captain of the elders of Israel came to inquire of the Lord and said before me, the exiles, having endured 7 years of captivity by the time of Ezekiel's latter prophecies, were keenly aware of the 70-year duration predicted by early prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah, leading them to anxiously count the remaining time until their anticipated return. However, the core of Ezekiel's message directly counted any hope that simply waiting out the prophecy would suffice. Instead, Ezekiel delivered a comprehensive and uncompromised review of Israel's history of rebellion and idolatry, emphasizing a crucial spiritual principle. The people were not merely victims of circumstance or arbitrary divine wrath, but was solely responsible for the troubles, judgments, and current state of exile they were experiencing because of disobedient sin. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, speak to the elders of Israel, say to them, thus says the Lord God, have we come to inquire over me as I live, says the Lord God. I will not be inquired over by you. Will you judge them, son of man? Will you judge them? Then make known to them the abominations of their fathers. Say to them, thus says the Lord God, on the way when I chose Israel and raised my hand in an oath to the descendants of the house of Jacob and made myself known to them in the land of Egypt, I raised my hand in an oath to them, saying, I am the Lord your God. On that day I raised my hand in an oath to them to bring them out of the land of Egypt into the land I had searched out for them, flowing with milk and honey, the glory of all the lands. Then I said to them, each of you throw away the abominations which are before his eyes, and do not defile your service with the idols of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. But they rebelled against me and would not obey me. They did not all cast away the abomination which were before their eyes, nor did they forsake the idols of Egypt. Then I said, I will pour out my fury on them and fulfill my anger against them in the midst of the land of Egypt. Verse 9, but I acted for my name's sake, that it should not be profaned before the Gentiles among whom they were, in whose sight I had made myself known to them, to bring them out of the land of Egypt. For my name's sake, God has delivered the remnant sinners from captivity status. See verses 14:22 as well. Therefore I made them go out the land of Egypt, brought them into the wilderness, and I gave them my statute, and showed them my judgment, which is a man does, he shall live by them. Moreover, I also gave them my Sabbath, to be a sign between them and me, and they might know I am the Lord who sanctified them. The Sabbath was originally instituted by God at creation and was later entrusted to Israel as an exclusive sign of the covenant between God and the nation, symbolizing that he had both created and redeemed them. As a day of rest, it was a gift, but its function was specifically covenantal and never extended to Gentile believers who are now under the new covenant established by Jesus Christ, the sign of which is generally understood as the cup of communion. Addressing Gentile churches concerning the shepherd, the Apostle Paul wrote to the Romans, stating that followers should have a personal conviction on observing certain days. Let everyone be fully persuaded in his own mind, and instructed the Colossians not to let anyone judge them regarding food, drink, holidays, or Sabbath days, emphasizing that these observances were merely a shadow of future realities, while the substance, the true fulfillment, is found entirely in Jesus Christ. All cross reference right there. Moreover, I also given them my Sabbath to be a sign between them and me. They might know I am the Lord who sanctified them. Yet the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They did not walk in my statute. They despised my judgment, which a man does, he shall live by them. And they greatly defiled my Sabbaths. Then I said, I would pour out my fury on them in the wilderness to consume them. But I acted for my name's sake. It should not be profaned before the Gentiles, in whose sight I had brought them out. So I also raised my hand in an oath to them in the wilderness, that I would not bring them in the land which I had given them, flowing with milk and honey, the glory of all lands, because they despised my judgments and did not walk in my statute. but profaned my Sabbath, for their heart went after their idols. Nevertheless, my eyes spared them from destruction. I did not make an end of them in the wilderness, but I said to their children in the wilderness, do not walk in the statutes of your fathers, nor observe their judgment, nor defile yourselves with their idols. I am the Lord your God. Walk in my statutes, keep my judgment to them. Hallow my Sabbaths, and there will be a sign between me and you, that you may know I am the Lord your God. Notwithstanding, the children rebelled against me. They did not walk in my statutes, were not careful to observe my judgment, which if a man does, he shall live by them. But they profaned my Sabbath. Then I said I would pour out my fury on them, fulfill my anger against them in the wilderness. Nevertheless, I withdrew my hand and acted for my name's sake, that it should not be profaned in the sight of the Gentiles, in whose sight I had brought them out. 23-24. Also I raised my hand in the north to those in the wilderness, that I would scatter them among the Gentiles and disperse them throughout the countries, because they had not executed my judgment, but had despised my statute, profaned my Sabbath, and their eyes were fixed on their father's idols. At the birth of their nation, God unequivocally established the consequences of disobedience for the Israelites, issuing a clear warning within the Mosaic law. When people inevitably violate the covenant, God permitted them to experience the resulting devastating consequences, such as a famine, defeat, and exile, not as an arbitrary punishment, but as a severe, unavoidable spiritual lesson. These judgments served to forcefully remind the nation of the seriousness of their sins and the unbreakable nature of the covenant they had willfully broken. So here, the close up to 28, verse 15. 25, therefore I also given them to the statute that were not good, and judgment by which they could not live. And I pronounced them unclean because of their ritual giftage, in that day they caused all their firstborn to pass through the fire, that I might make them desolate, and that they might know that I am the Lord. The practice of dedicating firstborn animals and children were tragically corrupted by the Israelites, who deluded its purpose by substituting it with the horrific ritual of a child sacrifice offered to the pagan god Moloch. This adaptation of a sacred requirement, the dedication of the first fruit to God, into a profoundly wicked and forbidden act of a human sacrifice, was a clear example of extreme religious syncretism and rebellion against the law. 27, therefore, son of man, speak to the house of Israel, and say to them, thus says the Lord God, in this too your fathers have blasphemed me by being unfaithful to me, when I brought them into the land concerning which I had raised my hand in an oath to give them. And they saw all the high hills and all the thick trees. There they offered their sacrifices and provoked me with their offerings. There they also sent up their sweet aroma and poured out their drink offering. Then I said to them, what is this high place to which you go? So the name is called Bama to this day. Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, are you defiling yourselves in the manner of your fathers and committing harlotry according to their abominations? For when you offer your gifts, make your sons pass through the fire, you defile yourselves with all your idols, even to this day. So shall I be inquired over by you, O house of Israel. As I live, says the Lord God, I will not be inquired of by you. What you have in your mind shall never be, when you say, we'll be like the Gentiles, like the families in other countries, serving wood and stone images. As I live, said the Lord God, surely with the mighty hand, with an outstretched arm, with the fury poured out, I will rule over you. I will bring you out from peoples and gather you out of the countries where you are scattered with a mighty hand, with an outstretched arm, and with fury poured out. 35-36. And I will bring you into the wilderness of the people, and there I will plead my case with you face to face, just as I pleaded my case with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt. So I will plead my case with you, said the Lord God. The first generation of Israelites who disobeyed God by refusing to enter the promised land was condemned to 40 years of wandering in the wilderness until their entire rebellious generations died, a foundational act of divine purification. Similarly, after their captivity in Babylon, God promised to enact a renewed wilderness judgment to purge the nation again. As the people journeyed back from exile, only those who were faithful and truly devoted to God would be allowed to successfully return to their land. The purpose of this second wilderness period was explicitly to purge all idol worshippers and to restore a pure remnant in the covenant back to Judah. 35-36. I will make you pass under the Lord. I will bring you into the bond of the covenant. I will purge the rebels from among you and those who transgress against me. I will bring them out of the country where they dwell. They shall not enter the land of Israel. Then you will know that I am the Lord. As for you, O house of Israel, the said Lord God, go serve every one of you his idols. And hereafter, if you will not obey me, but profane my holy name, no more with your gifts and your idols. For on my holy mountain, on the mountain height of Israel, said the Lord God, there all the house of Israel, all over them in the land, shall serve me. There I will accept them, and there I will require your offerings and the first fruits of your sacrifice, together with all your holy things. I will accept you as a sweet aroma when I bring you out from the people and gather you out of countries where you have been scattered, and I will be hallowed in you before the Gentiles. Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I bring you into the land of Israel, into the country for which I raised my hand in an oath to give to your fathers. And there you shall remember your ways and your doings with which you were defiled. And you shall loathe yourselves in your own sight because of all the evils that you have committed. Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I have dealt with you for my name's sake. Not according to your wicked way, not according to your corrupt doing, O Israel, house of Israel, said the Lord. Furthermore, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, set your face toward the south, preach against the south, prophesy against the forest and the south. Toward the south, they preach to Jerusalem and Judah, 47, and say to the forest of the south, hear the word of the Lord. Thus said the Lord God, behold, I will kindle a fire in you, and it shall be devour every green tree and every dry tree in you. The blazing flame shall not be quenched. All the faces from the south to the north shall be scorched by it. The region referenced in Negev often used synonymously with the south in biblical geography, which is prophesied to face utter devastation. This judgment is depicted as being carried out completely by fire, signifying a total and inescapable destruction of the area and its settlements. 48. All flesh shall see that I, the Lord, have kindled it. It shall be quenched. Then I said, Our Lord God, deceive me, does he not speak parables? Despite facing widespread resistance from many Israelites who refused to listen, because he frequently speaking in challenging parables, the prophet Ezekiel remained steadfastly obedient, continuing to proclaim every message God commanded him to deliver without becoming discouraged or giving up. His sustained faithfulness is an exemplary reminder that perseverance in obedience is essential, reflecting the promise found in the scripture that God will ultimately reward the faithful who endure until the end. We covered all three questions. Let's continue to keep on praying. A lot of missionaries that prayed. So all God's Word Meditation 2026 calendar is all gone. So the praise the Lord. Also, please pray the publication of this book is delayed because we don't receive LCC and yet continue to keep on praying for them. Let them more know Jesus, like Jesus, practice like Jesus as well. Let's sing all together on brochure, Maranatha song.